It's a joy to be with you tonight, and thank the Lord for the opportunity. And the reason we're here is just because we desire to be a blessing. Really, that's the only reason that we have for being here, other than our friendship, obviously, and our relationship with your pastor and his family. But sincerely, we just want to be a blessing to the Mountain Valley Baptist Church. And we're excited about being here. Thank the Lord for the wonderful meal, and it was good. And having to take a few deep breaths, I didn't eat far enough in advance, but it was good food. Thank the Lord for it. And I'm excited about what God is doing here, and excited about what I've heard about what God is doing here, really for several years, and your move, and how God really worked a miracle with you being able to have this property here. And it's a wonderful thing. We were walking around it earlier today, and there's just so much potential here to reach this whole valley and really reach into the state for the Lord. So thank the Lord for what you got. I know you do, but I know you're looking forward to pressing forward, too, through meetings like this. So take your Bibles there in Exodus chapter 25. Again, I want to thank the Browns for the wonderful place to stay, and thank you for opening up your home to us wherever you went. I saw you maybe go out, but thank you so much for that, and just the hospitality since we've been here today. I'm going to preach a message to you, and on the subject of the source of giving. And I know you've had a lot of messages probably recently on giving and different aspects of giving, maybe even some nuts and bolts of how to give. But again, I just want to be an encouragement to you tonight, and maybe bring it to an idea that you maybe haven't thought of about where the source of our giving comes from. And if you'd look with me in Exodus chapter number 25, I don't know if it's your custom, but if you would, if you're able, if you'd stand with me in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Exodus chapter number 25, and we'll look in verse number 1 and read down through verse number 9. The Bible says, "Then the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplates, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it." Again, I want to look at a message tonight entitled "The Source of Giving." Let's pray and ask God's help as we preach. Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us tonight already in fellowship, Lord, with food. Thank you for the hands that prepared it. And again, thank you for this body of believers that you've assembled here, known as Mountain Valley Baptist Church. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with the pastor and his family. I pray that you would strengthen them and uplift them and give them boldness and great faith for the days ahead as they lead this church for you. And I pray that you might bless, Lord, in the meeting tonight. And Lord, really, over the last several weeks, through the messages that have been preached upon stewardship and giving, I pray that this might culminate into a springboard of you calling upon the church to do things in greater faith with greater boldness for you. I pray that you bless now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Here in Exodus chapter 25, we find, and we read those verses there, where God called for Moses to call for an offering from God's people. And you can imagine that the place that they were in now, they were in the wilderness. There was upwards of 1 million people there. And God said, "Moses, I want you to set aside a time where you're going to call for an offering from the people, from the children of Israel." And when you think about it, when you read those verses that we read and read even other chapters before it and behind it, it was really going to be an offering that is not too uncommon from the way we receive offering today. And the one common denominator is that this offering, the same way with our offerings today, was to be given willingly. And that's the key I want to emphasize tonight, an offering giving willingly. No one is going to go to, and they weren't to go to the people's door and say, "Hey, you didn't give what you promised." And your pastor's not going to go to your door, I don't think, and say, "You didn't give what you promised." No, the offering that God desires is something that is to be giving willingly. And I want to show you tonight that giving from a willing heart always is a result of being thankful. So many times we kind of relegate thankfulness to November, but when we look in the Word of God, we find that there's a thread of thankfulness all throughout the Word of God. And really what I want to get to tonight, I'm going to kind of tell you the end of the message before I even get there. Giving from a willing heart is always from the source of thankfulness. Amen. You talk about the source of thankfulness, the title of the message, what is the source of thankfulness? It's a giving heart. Sometimes we think the source of our giving is our bank account. We think maybe the source of our giving is pulling it out of our retirement or cashing out a CD or selling some possession that we have. But the source of our giving truly has to be from a thankful heart. Amen. Tonight, your gift of money, and I'm being personal, your gift of money will never be used to the extent that God desires to use it for eternity's sake unless the source is from a thankful heart. Tonight, I believe when we're truly thankful, it takes care of any hindrance that we find in our life and what God desires for us to give, what He lays upon our heart. Thankfulness just says, you know what, God's gonna take care of it. God's worked in my heart, and thankfulness is the source of it and says all the hindrances are removed. God has laid this upon my heart to give. And I also believe when we're truly thankful, and this is the exciting part, when we're truly thankful, a local New Testament church will always have its needs supplied by the membership of that church. Good. That's an exciting thing, how that God has designed and made the blueprint for His local New Testament church, that when the people of God give from a thankful heart, and we're going to look at it tonight, it's exciting what God does. You say, why are the needs of the people, or why are the needs of the church supplied by the people of God? Because the source of giving, again, is not in abundance. The source of giving is not even guilt. Well, sometimes you find that, man, I feel guilty, I've got to do this, or I feel, man, the pressure's on me to do this. That's not even the source of giving. The source of giving, again, is always thankfulness. So tonight, I hope to show you a specific area of thankfulness, because thankfulness is a broad area. I mean, we could be thankful for a whole lot of things. We could have a testimony time tonight, right, and say this is what we're thankful of, and go person to person and be here into the wee hours of the night. But there is a very specific area of thankfulness that energizes and engages our giving for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that that'll be brought out tonight. So all the way from the beginning to the end, the Bible gives testament to the fact that throughout ages, God's people have always given thanks to Him. You can find it, if we went back to Genesis, you can find it there in attitudes and deeds that they did. But you can also, as you go to the book of Leviticus, you can find something called a thank offering, and something that they would do in gratitude for what God had done to them. And it's a ribbon that runs all throughout the Word of God, all the way to Revelation chapter number 11, when you have the elders thanking and praising the Lamb that was worthy to be slain for them. Most of the time, though, when you study thanks or being thankful, it's included more than just the acknowledgement of something is done for me. You know, a lot of times our thankfulness sort of is, well, thank you for what you did, and I appreciate it. And there's words of gratitude, there's words of kindness. But in the Word of God, you find that thankfulness always produces action. Sometimes it's an offering. Sometimes there were songs that were sung because people were thankful. Sometimes it was praises to God because people were thankful. Sometimes it was the publishing of God's goodness in and amongst the people around them because they were so thankful for what God had done in and amongst them. But a quick survey throughout the Bible also shows us that not just it's more than words. A quick survey also shows us that no one was exempt from this thankfulness to God. All the way in the Bible, Moses, the Israelites took part in it, David, the Levites, Nehemiah, Daniel, Jonah, even Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul, all of them, all throughout the Bible. In fact, regular thanksgiving has always been a part of the life of all of God's people who are right with the Lord Jesus Amen. Christ, who have a walk with God. They desire to be thankful. So a Christian who's in tune with God doesn't withhold those thanks of gratitude for what God has done. So here in Exodus chapter number 25, we find the beginning of an account that lays out what I want to look at tonight, this source of giving for Mountain Valley Baptist Church tonight. What is the source of giving? Where is it going to come from? The Israelites, we understand the text here. The Israelites were on the other side of the Red Sea. Think about it. And Egypt was behind them. If you know the story, at least Egypt was behind them geographically. A lot of them struggled with Egypt in their mind and even Egypt in their heart. But Egypt was behind them geographically. God had delivered them from Pharaoh after a 400-year enslavement. And by the way, God was protecting them while they were in that enslavement. They were not in Egypt by accident. God was really having them there in a sort of a cocoon. And God was making a family of about 70 people of Jacob's family blossom and bloom into a nation of over a million people. God was working in their life in that way. So look with me in verse number 8. I want you to see tonight the source of giving. If you're taking notes, number 1 would be it begins with an understanding. The source of giving, it begins with an understanding. Look in verse number 8. The Bible says, "And let them make me a sanctuary." God is talking to Moses to give instruction to the people. "And let them make me a sanctuary." Why? "That I may dwell among them." Look in verse number 22. "And there," where's there? That sanctuary. "And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat." Look in chapter number 29. Go all the way there, because this is all one account here. Chapter 29 and verse number 42. Chapter 29, verse 42, the Bible says, "This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle." So here's the location of the congregation before the Lord. And notice this, he gets specific, "where I will meet you to speak there unto thee." Verse 43 says, the tabernacle, "and there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory." Verse 45, "and I will dwell among the children of Israel, and I will be their God." Amen. Well, we find Israel here in the wilderness, and God is giving them, he's giving them instruction on worshiping him, how to worship him, what it's going to look like, what it's all going to entail, and how they're going to follow his leading. Again, remember, he's redeemed them from Egypt. What a wonderful miracle, a set of miracles that was, of getting them out of Egypt and getting them out of slavery there. He's seen them through that Red Sea crossing where they had the Red Sea in front of them. They had Pharaoh's army breathing down their necks behind them, and how he split the waters wide there and they marched through on dry ground. He's given them the law to guide them. And he's given them a law not just to, yes, to point them to a Savior that was to come, but he also gave them the law to make them a people that would distinguish them above all the people around them. They were going to be distinguished by that governing principle. They were going to be distinguished as God's people and God's people alone. And now God here, what we read, is going to give them something that will allow him, remember what we just read, something that will allow him to be in their midst to symbolize that he was their God. So as we come to our text in chapter number 25, God reiterates, and we read the verses there, God reiterated over and over and over. And this is the understanding that God wanted them to get through Moses. God wanted them to build this tabernacle. God wanted them to build this sanctuary. Why? For the purpose of him being able to dwell among them. Amen. Now I know tonight that the church is not the tabernacle, the church is not the temple. We understand that, and we're not making the two the same. But we find a wonderful truth here, not just necessarily the tabernacle, we find a wonderful truth of the heart of God. Yes. That God desired to dwell among his people. Amen. That God wanted to work among his people. And so that was important for them as they begin, yet still going to get instructions on building the tabernacle. It was important for them to understand why God wanted them to build it. Because I want to dwell among you. Because I want to be your God, and you're going to be my people. That was important for them to understand, and it's important for us to understand. God wanted to dwell among them. It's interesting also, if you are familiar with the tribes in Israel and how they move throughout the wilderness wanderings, even if you look at the layout of how they traveled, even if you look at the layout of where their tents were set up, once they set up camp somewhere, once you look at the layout of where the tabernacle, where God said to put it, It was all significant in teaching them the understanding that God wanted to be right in the middle of them. Amen. God wanted to be amongst all that they were doing. So God says in verse number 22 of chapter number 25, he's essentially saying, not only will it be a place where I dwell among you, but also notice he says it's going to be a place where I meet with them there and where I commune with them there. Again, what an amazing thought that God gave instruction, but God also gave provision and showed his wonderful desire to meet with the nation of Israel. Now think about this. Moses didn't get leaders of Israel, and they didn't come to Moses and say, Moses, why don't you go to God and let God know, pray to God and let God know that we would like him to meet with us. Go to God and tell God, hey God, we're going to make a tabernacle and we're going to set up our tent and our city in such a way where you can be right in the middle of us. That would have been a great thing to maybe suggest, but the people weren't the ones who suggested this. Get this, God is the one who suggested this. God was the one who initiated the desire to meet among his people. And he repeats it again in chapter number 29. Tonight I want us to be reminded and make it fresh in our mind. The source of giving begins with the people of God. And who's the people of God? Yes, in context here it's Israel, but the people of God is you tonight. The source of giving begins with the understanding that the people of God and understanding God's desire for the people of God. God told his people, I want to come down to you. I want to dwell with you. I want to commune with you. Now, what basis tonight, and I want to bring this to our attention because it even helps us to be thankful even more and really get to the source of this. On what basis can God commune with sinful men? Is it their holiness? Well, did God look down at Israel and say, you are such a holy and separated people, and you love me with 100% of your heart, and all those types of things? I don't think so. Because when you think about this, at the very time Moses was on the mountaintop, remember receiving the instructions from God, receiving the Ten Commandments, what were the children of Israel doing down in the valley? They weren't worshiping God. They weren't dedicating themselves to God. They were worshiping a golden calf that they had fashioned because they thought Moses had forgotten him. The only reason that God dwells amongst men is not our moral excellence. It's not our high standards. It's because of his grace. Amen. That's the only reason that he desires to dwell amongst us. But we must have that understanding that he does desire to dwell amongst us. So it begins with an understanding. The source of giving begins with an understanding. But also, secondly, I want you to see the source of giving. It results in an attitude. This understanding transfers then to an attitude change in our lives. When I get the picture that God wants to dwell among me and my church, and God wants to work through this body of believers, it really begins to change an attitude that I have in my life. So what Israel does after God initiates the tabernacle project and expresses his desire to meet with them is they got a new attitude. Look in chapter 29 and verse number 46. Chapter 29 and verse number 46. The Bible says, and they, those next two words, say with me together, shall know. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them, and I am the Lord their God. God says, they're gonna start learning some things about me. I want them to know who I am. Beyond salvation from Egypt. Could someone maybe, again, not audibly and speak out and give a testimony, but we could all give a testimony in our heart tonight if you know the Lord Jesus Christ and he saved you, he freed you from that slavery of sin, he freed you from Egypt, if you would, in the Word of God, how it's a picture of the lost world. But God doesn't stop there. God desires for us to have a walk with him. God desires for us to have a fellowship with him. And God desires for us to learn more about him as he desired for these people. He said, I want them to know that I wasn't just the one that brought them out of Egypt, but I want them to know me, and I want to dwell among them, and I want to be their God. Now, when you think about that, when God said, I want them to know that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, It didn't take a rocket scientist for them to know that. Right? Think of all of the miraculous plagues that God performed upon the people of Egypt to deliver them. I mean, there was absolutely no natural explanation for what took place. All that could be attributed to what was going on was God did something. So they knew it was God. They even sang praises to him on the banks of the Red Sea after they passed over. So they gave recognition to that. But God is saying here that I want you to continue learning. That I'm not just the God that delivered you, I'm the God that wants to dwell among you. Amen. And that's a special thing to understand. That's what our God, our Savior, desires. So how are they going to remember that? They were going to realize that by remembering that he was the one that brought them out of Egypt, by remembering and bringing about that heart of gratitude in their life to say, yes, we remember, and yes, we recall it, and yes, we know what God did. Thinking about it brought about a desire to do something to thank him. And so the Bible says there, they shall know. That was showing God's intent that they were going to continue to acknowledge God. They were going to continue to learn of God. They were going to continue to grow in understanding of all that God had done for them. But I also want you to see, before we move on to the next aspect of this source of giving, I want you to see that this new attitude was tested. This new attitude of desiring to walk with God, desiring to know the God that delivered them, that new attitude was going to be tested. While they're right in the middle of getting instructions for the tabernacle, for having a new nation, for having this place where God would dwell among them, we come to chapter number 32. Turn there with me, if you would, chapter number 32. Right in the middle of God expressing his desire to dwell with them and commune with them and be their God and all those things we talked about, right in the middle of their attitude, being an attitude of continual thankfulness and continual gratitude for what he did in the past. We come to chapter number 32 there, and they forsake God and they turn to idols. This is the passage here, chapter number 32, where Moses is on the Mount Sinai receiving the written commandments that they were going to govern themselves by. And here they were down in the valley with Aaron, Moses' brother, fashioning a golden calf that they would then worship. So this time here, Israel, before this, they were rejoicing. God wanted to dwell among them, chapter 25, 26, 27, all the way through 29, to come to chapter number 32. They were thanking God. God wants to dwell among us. God delivered us. Man, we remember back what he did. We sang praises of it. God's going to give us now instructions on building this tabernacle, and he's going to lay it all out so we're constantly mindful that he wants to dwell among us. And they're called even then to put action to their thankfulness and to actually build the tabernacle. But then the temptation comes along. The temptation was this: Moses can't protect you like the idols of Egypt can protect you. After all, they thought and they believed themselves, hey, Moses is up on that mountain. Moses, you haven't heard from him for 40 days, and it even doesn't look like he's coming back. Tonight, ungratefulness is always a lack of faith. Think of what we talk about, faith giving, and we ought to give by faith. Amen. You're trusting God even as you fill out those forms. You're filling those out, trusting God by faith for the next year, what God might place upon your heart to give to him through Mountain Valley Baptist Church. But ungratefulness is always a lack of faith. It's saying this: God can't do for me today what he did yesterday, so I'm going to look somewhere else. And think about it. All Israel saw God do. They sung about it. They rejoiced about it. They testified about it. But here they were in chapter number 32, and they had it in their mind, and they had an ungrateful heart that said, God can't do today what he did for us yesterday. Man, how many times we get there? They didn't believe that the God that delivered them from Egypt could take them through the wilderness. They didn't believe, if we could put it in our day and age, they didn't believe that the God who saved them could provide for them over the next year something that he might have laid upon their heart for them. Their attitude of thankfulness for what God had done, their desire to learn about God, it was brought to a test. Or were they really going to do what God laid upon their heart to do? But then I want you to see number three tonight. Look forward in chapter 35. We see the source of giving. It begins with an understanding. It creates a change of attitude, but now we see it creates an action. The source of giving always creates an action. Look in chapter 35 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. Let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass." So chapter 35 is a continuation of chapter 25 where we started. They were getting beginning instructions there. God gave them the law through that. They were tempted with the idol through that. But now we're coming to chapter number 35 where they're actually going to put action to what they were told to do in chapter 25. Look in verse number 21. "And they came everyone whose heart stirred him, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his servants, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were," notice this again, "willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered, offered an offering of gold unto the Lord." Verse 29, "The children of Israel brought a," look at it again, "a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses." Look in chapter 36 and verse number 5. Chapter 36, verse number 5. "And they spake unto Moses, saying," oh, look at this. Pastor, you love this. "The people bring much more than enough." Amen. "For the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make." That's exciting. That's good. Yeah. Amen. "And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary." Look at this. "So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff that they had was sufficient for all the work to make it," and look at this, "and too much." Amen. What an amazing thing takes place there among the people of God. What began, now think about this, what began with an understanding that God wanted to dwell among them, that resulted in an attitude of thankfulness that has worked in their heart. They put away the ingratitude, and now it has created an action that Moses has to put a stop to. Moses says it's enough. In fact, it's too much. When it comes down to it, the people gave so much to the tabernacle building, the work of God, that they had to be restrained. Don't bring any more. We can't handle any more. We've got more than enough for the work that God has laid upon our heart to do for Him. If you read the account, you will not find one place where someone was forced to give. Amen. In fact, we read it over and over. They gave of a willing heart. In fact, God, part of God's commandment in them giving says only receive the ones that was from a willing heart. But we find in that, you find the rich gave, you find the poor gave, you find the women gave, the men gave, the young old, the young gave, the old gave, the common gave, the rulers gave. Everyone contributed from a willing heart where the people of God would meet so that place could be provided for. I've never seen that before where the pastor or where someone has to stay, and I think this is the only place in the Bible where we find it, when the source of giving has gotten to the place where the people of God have to be restrained from giving any more, because they said this was enough. This provided for all that we need. Tonight I want to challenge you, and I want to hopefully be a blessing to you that could happen here. Yeah. Amen. But only when the source of giving is finally realized in our life like it was realized in the children of Israel's life. How about you and me tonight? The source of our giving is not in your ability. The source of your giving is not in your abundance that we possess. Sometimes we during days and times like this of our church, we kind of do the math, right? And we say, well, I can do this because of this, and if I do this many hours at work, and I've got this amount in the savings account, and we do all these figuring. But guess what? And that might be fine if that's the way God leads you to do it, but even that's not the source of your giving. Tonight, even spiritual things that are such a blessing, like your church, like your pastor, like his family, like the ministries that you are able to serve in, children's churches and Sunday schools, not even those are the source of your giving. The very basis and the very core of our giving is that in the goodness of God, He came to man. We did not seek Him, He sought us. Amen. We sing that song, "He brought me out of the miry clay." God's first question to mankind, recorded in Scripture, was to Adam. And it was a question of this: where art thou? What was God doing? God was seeking man. And God has been coming to man ever since. Emmanuel, the name of Jesus, means God with us. Revelation chapter number 1 tells us Jesus is still in the midst of his churches. Today, the Bible tells us our body even is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Oh, can I remind you tonight that he came to you. He came to you in salvation. Amen. He knocked on your heart's door. He came to you. He wants to fellowship with you. John chapter 15 tells us Jesus wants to abide with you. He wants you, in Philippians chapter number 2, to cast all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. You see, just like with Israel, he doesn't come to us and he doesn't desire to fellowship with us and to abide with us, not because of who we are, not because of our holiness, not because of our high and lofty standards, but for the same reason he desired to dwell amongst the children of Israel, he desires to fellowship with us, and that is by his grace. It's because of his mercy and his grace that he has prepared for man a way to meet with God. Amen. Tonight, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, that's the relationship with Jesus Christ that was paid for upon the cross for your sins. He died and he shed his perfect sinless blood as a substitute for our sin. That was a transgression against God. The Bible tells us we were at enmity. There was a wall between us and God. And the blood of his precious Son, Jesus Christ, who is God, came and died for us on the cross and shed his blood for us so that we might be redeemed to him. We ought to thank God today that the presence and the glory of God, it's not confined to a building. You realize tonight the presence and the glory of God is not confined to that platform out there in that auditorium. It's not, when we leave here tonight, his presence doesn't stay here and say, well, I'll see you when you're back on Wednesday or Sunday. His presence doesn't settle somewhere. He died for us once and for all, and when we're saved, his sacrifice is applied to our account permanently, thereby giving us the privilege of the ever-abiding presence of God in our life. Tonight, that's an understanding that he's done it all in the matter of our salvation and making a way for us to have a walk with him and have a fellowship with him. I'm thankful for that. And tonight, when we understand that, that makes us want to respond to that and walk with him better and learn to trust him more. Not out of guilt, not out of fear. Man, sometimes before we're saved, we try to serve God, but it's out of fear. We try to maybe go to church or change our life, but it's out of fear. But once we're saved and we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we desire to serve him because we love him and we want to walk with him. We want to learn more about him. Amen. But in this life, like with Israel, there's always going to be challenges to that desire to give, isn't there? Challenges to that desire to walk with him. The devil comes along to us just like he did with the nation of Israel, not before too long after someone's even saved, and says, you know what? You can do better not trusting God. I mean, you had it figured out before you were saved. I mean, yeah, there were some rough patches, but the devil comes along and says things like that. As a child of God, when you're trying to maybe go through a test or a trial, sometimes the devil comes along and says, you know what? You can do better not waiting on God. You've got your own means to get things done. You know people. You've got resources. You can do better figuring out on your own. And before you know it, thank you tonight, before you know it, we are living in ingratitude, forgetting that the God of the universe, he saved me and he indwelled me and that he can take care of me today just like he did yesterday. Yeah. And how easy we get, just like the children of Israel in our lives. When you think of God's desire to dwell with Israel, it makes everything in this life seem pretty temporary and pretty insignificant. Think about God's desire to dwell with us. Tonight, how could a God as big as ours want to save us in the first place, but then want to walk with us and have a fellowship with us after that? That's good. What an amazing thing. A God as big as that. It's no wonder when Israel finally got a hold of that, it's no wonder that they had to be restrained from giving back to God. Their giving wasn't coerced. It was responsive. It was of a willing heart. It was of a thankful heart. Why? Because God had saved them and God wanted to dwell among them. You see, tonight, giving is a natural response And it is sourced from a true understanding, yes, of thankfulness, but let's be more specific tonight. It's sourced from a true understanding of what God has done for you and that He desires to fellowship with you and He desires to abide with you. So I'll sum it up with this tonight. When you fill out that card tonight or a Sunday, whenever they're picked up, the true source of those finances and the true source of what God wants you to do, and even I believe down to the very penny, the true source of that is not going to be from account number 12345. The true source of that will be, and I would even dare to say must be, from a thankful heart. Amen. That God wants to dwell among you and God wants to do a work right here in Pocatello, yes, through Mountain Valley Baptist Church. And I promise you tonight, when it is from that source, it's going to be all that God wants and it's going to be exactly what He wants. And that's the wonderful, exciting thing about it when we give that to God in that way. Let's bow for a word of prayer tonight and we'll have a moment of invitation. And I'll turn it over to the pastor here. But Father, we thank You for this time that You've given us tonight in Your Word. And Lord, I pray that You would work in our heart through the Word of God as we've seen it tonight. And Lord, we give You praise and glory tonight that You are a wonderful God. You're a great, big God, Lord. And we praise You for, Lord, the desire that You have, Lord, to leave the glory of heaven to come to man or to save us. And after we're saved, to dwell among us. Lord, even in this local New Testament age, Lord, to have You, Your abiding presence in our local New Testament church as Your body. And God, I pray that You would be with us tonight as we understand that, but I pray that it wouldn't stop with the understanding. Lord, I pray that that would create an action in our heart, Lord, for a great desire because of thankfulness to give and to abound in giving. Lord, I know that many people in here have already prayed about what they should give. You've laid something upon their heart. And Lord, I pray that this message might just confirm with some of them. And Lord, it might maybe even change the motive of some tonight, that it would then come from a source of thankfulness. Lord, I pray that You bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.